Last week, I began sharing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, a person, not an it, a person who is parallel to God the Father, equal to Jesus Christ the Son, and who is permanent, forever and ever permanent. I think as believers, as Christians, we know about the Holy Spirit. We know the Spirit that lives in us and dwells within us. There's probably a lot we don't understand. But we're so grateful to have the Holy Spirit in our life. In weeks to come, we will look at wonderful truths of being a believer and what the Holy Spirit does for us. And I'm going to share about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and how does that Spirit fill us. But what about the Holy Spirit and an unbeliever? Now, as I look across the sanctuary, most all of us, and maybe most who are watching on live streaming, would say, the Spirit in the life of a believer, I get, but why or what role would the Holy Spirit have in the life of an unbeliever? Well, if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll turn to John chapter 16. Remember, this is part of Jesus' story. He's trying to prepare his disciples for the time when he won't be with them. John 16, hear the words of Jesus beginning in verse 7. But verily I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, Jesus said, the advocate, there's that word from last week, that paraclete, that counselor, that comforter, that friend. Unless I go away, that counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world even now stands condemned. Now in verses 7 through 11, if I had to pick one word that just leaps from the page that I believe is a key word to understanding of the text, in my translation the word was prove. He will prove the world. That word in the Greek is the word elexai. Elexai appears in the New Testament 17 times. And of course, like so many Greek words, 17 times, but it's translated at least 8 different ways in our English language. In Luke chapter 3, Jesus used that word elexai and used the word to reprove. Other places it says to expose. Jesus in Matthew 18, elexai was to show fault, to prove, to refute, Paul said, when he wrote to Titus, to rebuke, Paul said, also in Titus. And the Hebrew writer said, to elexai is to punish. All of those different words, English words for this one Greek word, elexai. What was Jesus saying about the Holy Spirit? Well, I think in our text, this verse, to prove the world to be in the wrong, Jesus was saying two things. He said it's the word to convict. Your translation may have that even, to convict the world. Convict is a judicial term. When I hear the word, I definitely picture a courtroom. Someone is on trial. The evidence is presented to the court and to the jury. And then the jury removes themselves. They go to the jury room and they deliberate. No one knows what they're talking about. We assume they're talking about the evidence and the defendant. And then the jury comes out. They come back into that jury box. The foreman and the judge have this dialogue. And the judge then says, has the jury reached a verdict concerning the defendant? Foreman will often say, Your Honor, the jury has found the defendant guilty as convicted. Now, I hope you just pictured Atticus Finch at work in To Kill a Mockingbird, almost any John Grisham novel. That's conviction. Eleksai is the work of the Holy Spirit, exposing the depravity in an unbeliever's life, proving one's guilt before God. That's conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts. But that word can also be interpreted that the Holy Spirit, Eleksai, convinces. To convince. As a matter of fact, if this morning your text is the Revised Standard Version, mine is the New International, but the RSV translates verse 8 as convince. To convince the world to be in the wrong about sin. Now, convince is a persuasive term. It doesn't have so much to do with the fact as it does with the acceptance of the fact. Now, go back to the courtroom. The defendant hears the verdict, guilty. The defendant is convicted, guilty. And something inside her says, they're right. I am guilty. To convince is to awaken a sense of guilt, to bring the person who's been convicted and proven guilty to the point to where he or she admits, I am guilty. To convince is to own it. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and convinces the sinner, that's right, I am guilty. The Holy Spirit convicting and convincing in the life of an unbeliever. So what does the Holy Spirit convince and convince of? This is big. First, Jesus says, according to verse 9, the Spirit convicts and convinces of sin. Now, I don't believe I have to tell any of us here or those that are watching at home about sin. We tend to get sin. Those of us who are believers definitely get sin, but even unbelievers. I think there's within us this sense, and often from the Holy Spirit, that we have a problem, and the problem is sin. We're not getting better and better. We're just not. Sin. Oh, we don't always like to deal with it. We want to blame society. Blame broken homes and families, blame technology, or if only I had more money, more something, then I could take care of our sin. The Holy Spirit, in the life of an unbeliever, will say, your problem is not education. Your problem is it's not your physical condition. It's not your mental capacity. The problem is sin. That you are separated from God. The Holy Spirit in the life of an unbeliever points out sin. That this separation is here. God loves sinners. Aren't we glad? God loves and God longs to have relationship. God loves and longs for every person to know of His grace and, yes, His love. Sin is when we miss the mark. With children, I will say it's like you're doing a bow and arrow and you miss the target. That's sin. Sin is when we choose our way rather than God's way. And as believers, we continue to do it. But as unbelievers, it's part of our life. And we're not confessing it. We're not acknowledging it. That's where the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces about sin. That there's this great chasm. There's this great separation between God and where we are. The Holy Spirit convicts unbelievers, Jesus said, of the meaninglessness of life without God, of sin. Secondly, the Holy Spirit also convicts and convinces concerning righteousness. Now, Jesus, as He walked and as He did ministry, as folks followed Him, even with His apostles at this point, He always pointed towards the righteousness of God. that God was good and just and pure, that God was here and we were here and we were separated. And we were separated because of our sin. Jesus, in these passages, remembers preparing for the cross. And even he said in verse 7, I have to go away in order that the advocate, the paraclete, will come. And yet he didn't want to leave them powerless. He wanted them to know, and that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit convicts and convinces of sin and of the righteousness of God through Christ. The Holy Spirit says, yes, God is righteous and just and pure and good, and you're here because of sin. But because of Christ and Calvary, because of Christ's atoning blood, because Christ is our Redeemer, that sin is separated, that sin is covered. And the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts of that and convinces that in ourselves there's no righteousness. Apart from Christ, there can be no righteousness. We can't just talk ourselves into being righteous so we can be with God. There's not any righteousness in us apart from Christ. The Holy Spirit convicting and convincing of sin. But it's not just a dead end of sin and Christ's righteousness which atones the sin. And then, yes, the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces unbelievers concerning judgment. Because of who we are, sinners, because of who Jesus is, the righteousness of God, the Holy Spirit says you can't stay where you are and just live in that sin. You cannot reject Jesus and escape the consequences of your rejection. God is just. Sinners are not just. And Christ is the only covering for that sinfulness. It's the Holy Spirit that brings that awareness of the judgment of God. Now, I don't understand a lot about judgment. I'll just tell you. I study Scripture. You can pull this passage and pull. Some understand judgment really well. Growing up, every preacher I ever heard, they knew and they described judgment so boldly and so vividly. I don't understand when judgment occurs or where judgment occurs or how God's judgment is worked out. I don't understand that. I understand, maybe it's just my understanding or lack thereof. I can see of God's love, and I understand that a whole lot more. But I know there has to be an accounting for our sinfulness. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts and convinces of sin, of Christ's righteousness, and yes, of a judgment. There has to be an atonement. And Christ said, that's right, I will be that atonement. The whole purpose of Calvary was once and for all. Once and for all, sin would be covered through Christ. Now, I don't, again, understand all of that, but I know this, that as a 9-year-old boy, I longed to have a relationship with God. I didn't understand a lot about sin. My parents said I should have. I did it a whole lot. But I didn't understand about that. It wasn't in order that I could just escape hell. It was that I wanted a relationship with my friend Jesus. I wanted that relationship. Jesus said Satan is already condemned. Satan's already lost. Christ is already exalted. Satan does not have that power unless we give him that power. Satan is condemned. That relationship, though, can only come through Christ. Now, you may be sitting here or watching online and saying, that Holy Spirit's not the greatest thing if you're an unbeliever. He's out to get you. That Spirit's out to get you. I submit that Spirit's not out to get you. He's out to give. He's out to give you life. The Spirit's not out to get you. The Spirit's out to convict and to convince you that God loves you, that there's new life, new birth, that there's abundant life. That's what Jesus meant. I've come that you might have life, not just any life, but abundant, everlasting, overflowing, full life. The Holy Spirit ministers in the heart of unbelievers for one reason, For one reason, that the Holy Spirit enters that life and begins to work in that unbeliever, and that's to bring that believer to the point of experiencing life everlasting, abundant, and eternal. In order to experience salvation, for that unbeliever to see their sin, be convicted of their sin, be convinced of their sin, acknowledge, repent, confess of that sin, and experience new life. Free life, abundant life in Christ Jesus. Now again, most all of us here, maybe every one of us have experienced that, but maybe not. Maybe you're here this morning, or maybe you are watching on your computer, or you're there in your home wearing your shorts or your pajamas, and you're saying, I don't know there ever was a time in my life. A lot of folks just want to keep putting that off. You know, one day after COVID, one day I'm going to come and talk to the pastor and he's going to tell me how I can get right. You can do that without the pastor. So, well, you know, one of these days, and life is fleeting so fast. Or maybe you say, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm better than most. I mean, I see those folks that go to the church, and some of them are sorry, and I know how they live. I'm better than most, and I even give an offering now and then, and I like the golden rule, and I'm pretty good. But you know, pretty good doesn't cover the righteousness of God. Pretty good is still sin. The only way to atone for our sin is through Jesus Christ, who died that we might live eternally. It's your choice. You see, God could have said, everyone must follow me. You don't have a choice in this. I believe, and there are different folks who believe differently. They can be wrong. I believe that God gave you a choice. Here's my grace. Here's my love. Here's my plan. But I'm not going to force it on you. You have to choose. God longs for every man and woman, boy and girl. God longs for everyone to have that relationship through Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts and convinces of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. But then, as an individual created in that image of God, we have to choose. Will I confess? Will I deny myself? Will I say, God, I can't do it, but you can. I don't know of any song that's been used of God, and I think the Holy Spirit, any more than that old hymn of commitment, "Just As I Am." Those words, it's not just the music, it's the words that capture us. Just as I am, without one plea, not one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me, that's old language, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned. By the blood of Christ the Lamb, I love this, and I'm welcomed with open arms. Praise God. Just as I am. Praise God. The only way we come, just as we are, it's that Holy Spirit that convicts of sin and convinces of Christ's righteousness, convinces of judgment. I come just as I am.